Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by Witchschool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
Welcome to Reclaiming Your Sacred Path. I'm your host, John Anastasio, and we're here for a conversation about growth and the human spirit. I'm a healing practitioner, I'm an educator, I'm an author, and I'm a high priest of the Karelian nativist tradition. We're here to explore how you can set your own spiritual direction. Get guidance directly from spirit. Focus and direct your energy, and follow your own heart-centered path. And thank you for sharing an hour of your time with me this evening on Pagans Tonight Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. This is John Anastasio, and I'm coming to you from Clinton, Washington, on beautiful Whidbey Island, where I have a healing and personal growth practice I call Center for Power and Healing. And I offer Reiki, shamanic healing, and life path advising based on the book, Reclaiming Your Sacred Path. So you can find out more about all of that at www.powerandhealing.com. So I said in the intro that this show is 60 minutes or so of conversation about growth and the human spirit. And those are two themes that I've followed most of my life, learning and growth and spiritual exploration, which led me to witch school and the Karelian tradition back around 2009. And we'll talk more about that as we go. But that work also led me to write the book. And the book, Reclaiming Your Sacred Path, is basically about how to find your way back to spirit or enrich the path that you're on in your own terms. It's about your sacred path, not my sacred path. But it does tell the story of how I went through the process of having to do that. And I'll tell you about that in a couple of minutes. But you can get the book if you're interested. You can find more information on my website, www.powerandhealing.com. You can also get it at the core store of the Karelian tradition. If you go to Karelian, Correllian.com, you will find the core store, C-O-R-R store link, and you'll find it there. And that would be great. And of course, it's available at the usual online places, as well as Powell's World of Books in Portland, Oregon, Stargazer's Bookstore in Bellevue, and Linya's and South Whidbey Commons Coffee House in Freeland, Washington. So if you were listening to my show with Belladonna Laveau of the Aquarian Tabernacle Church back on September 30th, you may have heard some of this already, and I apologize if that's the case, but this is really a resuming of Reclaiming Your Sacred Path. The first 24 episodes of this show I did on BBM Global Network through the spring, and I took the summer off and resuming now. I'm delighted to be here on Pagans Tonight Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. And so this is, it may feel like episode one, but it's actually episode 26. And so I'm going to be resuming this two times a month. And we are changing, just so you know, to beginning in November. It's the first and third Thursdays of the month at 8 p.m. Central Time. And we'll be announcing that. And if you want to hear about that and be up to date on things, you can email me at john@powerandhealing.com and I'll put you on the mailing list. And you can always call in as a guest on the show, 347-308-8222. Or you can email me if you have a comment or a question and something you'd like me to address on the air, I'd be happy to do that. And if anybody that you'd like to hear from as you get a sense for what this show is about, or if you have any questions or comments, please contact me. If you want to listen to the first of those 24 episodes, you can find the links on my website. Again, that's www.powerandhealing.com. So I am really excited to have the chance to talk with you about something that's really important to me. And that's this idea of reclaiming your sacred path, resuming your spiritual journey, because it's about finding your own unique path and reclaiming your spiritual autonomy. And we'll be talking as we go along here over the weeks to people who have had to either reinvent their lives in relation to deity, or and that may be because they sought it. It may be because deity found them. And you'll hear all kinds of stories. But reinventing your life in terms of your relation to deity, in relation to relationships and work, and ultimately your own inner self is really what reclaiming your sacred path is about. It's about spiritual growth, about personal development, and finding your way back to recognizing that, as so many have said, you are a spiritual being having a physical experience and all that that means. So, you know, part of the impetus for this radio show and the decision to do this is that it doesn't take very much exploration online or in the news to see that people are really waking to their own power at this point because of all the things that are going on in our lives and in our collective life. And at the same time that we seem to be living in the tower card at the moment, institutions and people we were brought up to trust and rely on for truth falling one by one, and even in a personal sense, many people are experiencing that there's the need to release and let go of old ways of doing things that are no longer working. And my own path to being able to sort of figure all of that out was I got a question. I want to respond to a question I got after the last episode, which was the person who contacted me said, you mentioned in your book that you lay out some concrete steps for how to reclaim your path. And I was wondering what sort of process you went through to arrive at those steps. You mentioned going through A Course in Miracles. I was wondering if there are other similar programs you used that were helpful, or even if they weren't helpful, and what those were, and if you would recommend any of them. So I guess it was around, I mentioned the number 2008, but back in 1981, I learned therapeutic touch when I was designing training for the volunteers for a hospice program. And that sort of opened my eyes to the world of energy. And I began to understand how some of this stuff works. And so fast forward over the years, I went through a number of disciplines. I grew up Catholic. I was a Baha'i for 13 years, went through that learning process and began to study more what I would now call pagan subjects. I took transcendental meditation. I took shamanic training from Michael Harner of the Foundation for Shamanic Studies. And I did work my way through A Course in Miracles, and all of those were incredibly helpful. But I would not want to say, here, try this or do this, because the whole premise of reclaiming your sacred path is that's not where the conversation begins. Just about anybody who's walked into a metaphysical store when you are sort of looking for an answer, looking for a solution, you sort of walk in and you see the tarot cards and the crystals and the bells and the books and the candles, and you say, I know the answer's in here somewhere. And you would be absolutely right. You brought it in with you. Because the answer really is between deity and you and your own immortal soul. And so for me, the process really begins with saying, okay, what do I want my path to look like? What do I want my life path to look like? Because it was for me around 2008, for a lot of reasons I won't go into in detail, the wheels kind of came off for me. And I was looking for the spiritual practice I thought I had developed over the years to help me. And I discovered when I reached for it, it kind of wasn't there. You know, there's a reason we call it a spiritual practice. Because you've got to actually practice. And that's what I learned. And so I started looking around. I was feeling very much at sea, very, very disconnected from source and from my own sort of inner self. And I was at a used bookstore, found the book Wicca and Witchcraft for the Complete Idiot. And I thought, that's me. So I picked it up. I started looking through it. And as I looked through it, I realized that there were certain spiritual themes through all of this that basically said, so first you create your relationship with the divine. And then you think about how do you want your path to look? And then you learn these skills and capabilities of divination and manifestation and healing. And it's really about getting your own guidance from spirit, focusing and directing your energy toward an intention that matters to you, and being able to heal from the effects of the lessons that we inevitably have to learn as we go along. So for me, the techniques that I would recommend are to go in and ask yourself that question. So, because the answer really is within you. And once you do that, you may find that you're drawn to certain things. But to say that someone should do A Course in Miracles or neuro-linguistic programming or shamanic work or any of the many, 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 many disciplines that that are available to us as pagans, as Wiccans, as however we identify in our spiritual lives. To recommend any of those would be misleading, because if they worked for me, that's great, but they might not work for you. And so I would recommend beginning the process by asking yourself that question and saying, if you could ask yourself a question like, if I were 10 times bolder, how would I change the way I approach spirit? If I knew I could not fail, if I were 10 times bolder, how would I approach spirit? And so, you know, it's the kind of thing where Martha Beck, there was a meme that went along on Facebook that I hope is true. Because I like it. She said, the Buddha often said that wherever you find water, you can tell it's the ocean because it always tastes of salt. And by the same token, anywhere you find enlightenment, whatever improbable or unfamiliar shape that it may have assumed, you can tell it's enlightenment because enlightenment always tastes of freedom, not comfort, not ease, freedom. So this show is going to feature guests, and tonight is no exception. I'm going to be talking with a man named Lawrence Lerner, who is a Wiccan priest and president of Puget Sound Pagan Pride. And pagan pride in general, we're going to talk about in the event we have coming up at Seattle Center on October 28th. And I'm sure we're going to cover a variety of other subjects. And you're welcome to call in. The phone number again is 347-308-8222. Since these are my first couple of shows and I'm still sort of learning the platform on Pagans Tonight Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio, I'm going to skip the chat room for tonight. So please either call in or email me with a question if you have one or a comment at john@powerandhealing.com, and I will answer it next week. So just to emphasize, this show is about you and your path, about you listening and seeing what are the lessons or the insights or the observations in this experience, in this conversation for me. It's not about my path. And now that we've woken up to needing to continue to grow and continue to work on the evolution of our immortal souls, this show will talk about a process and ideas, but where you're going and how you get there is entirely up to you. So this show will be about how to navigate the process of reclaiming your sacred path and also the experiences that many people have had along the way. And so walking your sacred path involves, obviously it involves doing your inner work. And that is maybe the most important thing, to release the energetic and other blocks to becoming your true self. And it's going to involve tough choices and loss, but it will also involve incalculable gain. So this is Pagans Tonight Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Reclaiming Your Sacred Path. And when we come back, I will introduce you to Lawrence Lerner. So here's a little song for you. I am also actually a singer-songwriter, so I'm going to share my music with you until you tell me to stop. So here's one called One More Tomorrow that sort of became kind of an anthem for me a while back. Winter wind getting in, though my door's shut tight. Memories last to leave before I sleep through the night. Promises never kept sets my feet on the road. On the move, staying true to something I heard long ago. Give it one more tomorrow.
Don't let go of your dreams. Don't let the silence that follows your questions keep you from trying again. In between where I've been and what I hope to find, I followed streams of other dreams, and they've taken too much of my life. But now it's time for me to drive and find my way back home. I wandered lost, I learned the cost. Now I'm taking back my soul. Give it one more tomorrow. Don't let go of your dreams. Don't let the silence that follows your questions keep you from trying again. Give it one more tomorrow. Don't let go of your dreams. Don't let the silence that follows your questions keep you from trying again.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that, and please let me know if you did or you didn't. If you have a strong opinion, I would love to hear it either way. But I want to introduce to you Lawrence Lerner, who is as I mentioned in the introduction, a Wiccan priest and president of Puget Sound Pagan Pride. And I had the joy of meeting Lawrence, I guess, about a year ago, right, Lawrence, at one of the meet
just
and greets.
Just a little over a year ago. Yeah. And yeah. There's lots of Corellians here in Western Washington, and it was a pleasure meeting you.
Yeah, it was great to meet you too, and to finally get out. I didn't really go into the detail of my path, but when I started studying, I was here in 2008. I started studying, and I started really working through all of the classes that I could, through the clergy classes and stuff in witch school. And I didn't even know that I was completely surrounded by this pagan community at the time. Really, it's been in the last year that I've sort of come out and meet everybody. It's really been great.
And it's been wonderful to have you as part of the community. And, I think that's something that's been the role of Pagan Pride, here, and where it's also part of a national organization. And it's been, I think, really important because there are people who are trying to work on their path or found their path and moved into an area. So we're not a single tradition, nor do we even try to be the religious part of the faith or of witchcraft and the practice of craft. But really, I see this as a point of arrival or a landing page. I mean, we have a website, PugetSoundPaganPride.org, where people can come and learn about all of the different groups and traditions that are here locally, because I get probably two or three requests every month, and last year, and I'll start it up again this year, a request for people who are on a specific path and looking for a group, whether they're Wiccan, they're Corellian, they're Asatru, they're looking for a spiritual community that's more broadly based, like Olateas, Our Lady of the Earth and Sky provides. So that's a big part of what Pagan Pride enables is where are all the groups, where are all the metaphysical shops, and then even some of the more interesting and joyous mundane things, like people are looking for someone to do a hand fasting or a naming ceremony, or for people who are crossing over. So we try to provide that without, you know, sort of discriminating against, which path are you on? We just want to be that clearinghouse. You need to find something. Here it is. We always love to have people's information listed. And this is our 12th year in Western Washington.
Wow.
We're doing our 12th event. This time we took a change of venue, and we're doing it at Seattle Center. And and it's being co-sponsored by the city of Seattle.
Wow.
And, you know, that may be a little controversial to some people in the community. But, you know, what we're trying to do is make it safe for people to be, have a place to come and share the cultural values of being pagan. Because we don't do, you know, and we never have had formal, rituals or ceremonies around invocation and things like that, because that's not what that day has ever been about. It's fellowship. It's seeing the people that you don't get to see, you know, every month when you're doing a moon or at a Sabbath, because people can come from all over the state. And one of the things that Seattle Center provides is it's highly accessible off of all the major roads. There's tons of public transportation. It's walkable. There's so many other things that are going on, so it allows people to share that experience. And it's also the same day as the Dia de los Muertos celebration is going on, which is, you know, very similar to our Samhain celebration. So it's Sunday, the 28th, 9 to 5, and it will be at the exhibition hall. So it's right on Mercer Street. All of the street parking is free. We were able to make sure that merchants had free lot parking. So that was, you know, another benefit of this site. And it's a big space. And we've added so many new things this year that we're incredibly excited about. You know, we have, not only the merchants that always come to sell pagan wares, that people can get their crystals, their candles, henna, all of those things. There are 20 adult, more, adult, not adult themed, but for people that are a little bit older and more mature who are looking for presentations, workshops on astrology, crystals, crossing over different paths. And the reason that we separated that is because we have now a fully dedicated kids track.
Nice.
Craft and hands-on for kids to learn about the different cultural aspects and traditions. And because we're around Samhain in the dark time of the year, as we think about ancestors, a lot of the themes that we're hitting are around that and remembering the people who've gone before, and how do we think about, and how do different cultures celebrate death? Because it's a very, very different tradition. And, you know, not to be critical about any one path or tradition, but, you know, as a broad mainstream society, we don't talk about death in probably the healthiest way. It's something to always be feared and not talk about. Let's push it off until the time comes.
Right.
But if you're preparing yourself, forget about, you know, the paperwork. There's certainly people that can help you with that, and that's important. But having made your wishes known to your loved ones, to your, you know, your family, your friends, and your community of how they celebrated your life, because the reality is, For the people who've passed, they pass. But for the friends and family that are left behind, there's a lot of things to think about and to do. And how you interact with them, I think, you know, again, Lawrence's opinion, is equally as important as the passing over rituals and how we remember people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a heavy theme. And to go along with that, we're incredibly excited and grateful that the community has given us from 10 different traditions, 10 different traditions are coming and building altars.
Nice.
And they're going to demonstrate what different remembrance and passing over ritual looks like and how they're celebrated. And then there's another celebration for first responders and military who've served. And it's open to everyone. Absolutely everyone is welcome to put a yellow remembrance ribbon around the tree that's being sponsored by TOLUS, which is one of the groups that's coming to support. It's really a very special thing so that everybody can come together. And there have been a lot of pagans who've served the United States military as first responders and have, you know, sacrificed their health and lives for the benefit of others. And this is a good time to remember them, we think. And this is a great way to honor them. It's a community event. People will come together. So we think that's important. And, of course, there'll be entertainment. There'll be music. We've got some great local artists who are coming to perform. And I'll send you a follow-up when I've got some confirmation. And I think that one of them might be listening. And this person is one of the local favorite performers, especially in the pagan community. So it's really a great celebration of culture. Oh, there'll also be a finery parade. So for people who've created costumes to remember and celebrate, that's going to be there. So we've really expanded the number of activities, and we've also created some sitting and waiting areas where people can stay and discuss and enjoy themselves. And of course, there'll be tarot readers and crystal readers and people who do a host of other kinds of divination for, you know, the community, for interest. The event is free. Almost everything in the event is free. A couple of the workshops may have a small fee for materials, but other than that, we're looking forward to having the pagan community, druids, heathens, Asatru, Wiccans, everybody who considers themselves spiritual or is just curious or interested, and there'll be lots of us walking around ready to answer questions. People answer questions about the altars. So we're incredibly excited. And by the way, John, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of this time to, again, amplify the message and get it out there.
Yeah, I'm excited about the day. I'm really looking forward to it. And I think it sounds like an amazing day that you guys have put together. And this is really wonderful. Yeah, I'm delighted to give you the time, and I think a lot of people out there want to hear about it. And, you know, maybe folks have picked up some ideas from hearing you talk about what the day is going to be like. So, yeah, come on down to Seattle Center, 9 to 5 on October 28th. And yeah, Sunday is always a free parking day in downtown Seattle, so that helps. And yeah, we look forward to seeing everybody there. So, you know, Lawrence, I want to one of the theme of this show is reclaiming your sacred path. And one of the things that I always do is, you know, with guests, and we talked about this, is find out a little bit about your journey from the day that you discovered that you don't stop at your skin, that there's more to you than this, this body that we walk around in, to where you are, where you stand today as a Wiccan priest and as the president of Puget Sound Pagan Pride. Tell us a little bit about your story.
So, you know, the way that you said it is really interesting. Reclaiming your spirituality, because I've always considered myself a very spiritual person and knew that there was more than just me, and that we as a community people, of plants and the earth and everything else exists together. And I was raised Jewish. And you know, again, no criticism, but it left me with many, many open questions. And like every other American student, you know, you were required to take history and learn about mythology and other faiths and other countries. And I certainly did that and found that I had a real passion for learning about other faiths and religions. And I studied them over the years. And when I was in college, as an undergraduate, I discovered the writings and teachings of Starhawk. And it's funny, nowadays when you say Starhawk to a lot of millennial-aged pagans, they give you this quizzical look and go, "Now who is that?" So I feel a little dated sometimes, but she was my first inspiration, and I got to meet her when I was in my 20s. And what it did was awaken in me an appreciation for, you know, and I'll be very clear, a tree-hugging, earth-loving pagan. And as I started to look at traditions and paths, Wicca seemed very natural and comfortable to me. To be able to look at the cycle of the year, the wheel of the year, the moons, which, you know, there are many other faiths and cultures that use a lunar calendar, mm-hmm. and start to live my life around that. And, you know, I found other like-minded people, and we formed a coven, and we learned from each other, and we taught each other, and we discovered, you know, our spirituality, what was sacred to us, how did spirit communicate with each of us, you know, together, individually. And, you know, I established actually at a very early time a relationship with my patron that I hadn't really contemplated deeply for a long time. And, you know, in some extent, I set it aside. When I got married, I had married someone who was somewhat a-religious, and we had a very nice life, but not a very spiritual one. And I always found that that was missing. But there are parts mm-hmm. of my spirituality that I always observed, you know. And it's hard not to, right? Once you recognize that there is a wheel of the year, there is a cycle of the seasons. And mm-hmm. you can honor that and start living as you think about it. You know, as I said earlier, we're entering the dark time of the year, rest and reflection. You know, I'm thinking about all of the things that I've done this year, things that I've accomplished that I haven't, what could I have done better? And not to beat myself up about it, but to be analytic. And I will share, and, you know, if you speak also to Dusty Dione, who's the high priest at the Aquarian Tabernacle mm-hmm. Church, Wicca is a sacred science. It is a very, very analytic approach, and you will find it, and John, you and I have had good discussions, and there are other people in the community. Wiccans will argue and discuss and debate because we're so analytic. We take a lot on faith. Faith to us means the ability to be able to have a good debate about what the right way or the analysis of something is, and disagree if you will. Yeah. I mean, that's what this is about.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I think it was Carlos Castaneda who said, he was quoting Don Juan in one of his books, saying that there are things that you believe, or we would not even be in this conversation. We wouldn't be listening on this radio show. We wouldn't be talking about any of this. Either things we believe, or else we wouldn't be in conversation. And there are things you have to choose to believe, otherwise it makes no sense to you. And sometimes I think it's around the choosing to believe that certain things are true where we end up in those debates. But it's a very interesting thing. Also, something earlier that you said about how once you get on this path, you're on it. You're not getting off it. That's why when I talk about reclaiming your sacred path, it's about getting up off the bench and continuing your journey, you know, because you're on the path, even if you feel like you're stuck. But anyway, sorry, I interrupted your story.
No, that was a great, and that brings up a great point, because once you're on this path, and again, it's not about dogma. It's really about karma.
Right.
It's also about, you know, recognizing that our beliefs and our our practices have to do with a lot of things that are here and now important to us. You know, reclaiming the environment, being ecologically sound, how do we reduce plastic consumption? And that may not sound really religious or spiritual to some people, but as Wiccans, we really think about what is the impact that it's having on ourselves, on the earth, on the spirits around us. You know, everything has an impact on us. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned as part of my training and part of my studies is that, you know, now is a point of arrival. It is a series of decisions and choices that you made some time ago that bring you to the fulfillment of what's happening. And only you can correct or change those or affect and implement them. And you have conscious choice, and you made it, your own, you made a point earlier that, you know, if you were 10 times bolder, how would you approach it? Well, knowing and just assume for a moment that what I say is true, that every one of those choices and actions you make, your intentions set these ripple effects that led us to, you know, having conversation and saying, hey, let's do a radio interview and let's talk about all these things. If I hadn't, decided to take up, building the Pagan Pride for this year or becoming a priest or enjoying talking to people in public about what I do, we wouldn't have had this. And if you hadn't made your choices, so that's led us to now. And it's easy
that's
to say,
right.
Well, of course it did, but those were all conscious intents. And as within, so without, you create all of these things by setting those intentions. And that's a big part of what I've found in my spirituality and what I've learned from, you know, my teachers, my patron, other people who are on the path. And I consider myself, you know, I said Wiccan, but I also – you'll see if you ever read my bio on Pagan Pride, I consider myself a bit of a cafeteria pagan because I pick up bits from other traditions that make sense. And as you look at some of the practices, you'll see that they're very, very common. And what's been joyful to me is when I talk to other traditions and faiths, even when I talk to Hindus, and talk about chakras, and they go, wait, you know about chakras? And beyond the, what you might see in, certain shops or yoga studios or whatever, it's like, no, this is a big part of our traditions and understanding these energy pathways. And it becomes a very good common understanding of how we discuss things. And, without it being cultural appropriation, because we're all trying to be sensitive about that. And those things, it's always tricky. And it's you always want to be respectful, or when we talk about things like smudging, right? Because it's a word borrowed from the Native American traditions. But there are other traditions who've done this with incense for hundreds or thousands of years, whether they were pagan traditions or and most religions started as some form of pagan tradition and then potentially became something else or, were the native religion in a different place. And there was a lot of controversy, and we talked about this with the Sephora witch kits.
Right.
And, I'm really of a couple of different minds about that. You know, in one sense, it's sort of prepackaged witchcraft for the fast feeder generation of, oh, I just want, a quick, my quick fix of smudging, which for some people is an incredibly important sacred ceremony handed down to them. through their ancestors for hundreds, mm-hmm. if not thousands of years, taught as family traditions, and is not something that you maybe want in a cellophane wrapper. But on the other right. hand, to be able to open people's minds and say, you know, there's another way to look at the world, and these mm-hmm. are important things. And I think there's a common ground. And, you know, my business life, I've built a lot of tech businesses. I've invested in quite a few as well. And I've done, you know, been responsible for product marketing. I would love to sit down with those folks at Sephora and introduce them to the broader pagan community and say, if you want to do this, here's a way that everybody can win. Because we'd love for people to learn more, but it would be the same thing, you know, because they're not necessarily religious beliefs, but go to Buddhists and say, hey, here's prepackaged Buddhism, and here's mm-hmm. a bunch of mala beads and some, you know, MP3s that you can learn meditation. Right. You want to do it in the right and respectful way. So I applaud mm-hmm. some of the thinking. I think there were different ways.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. It makes me think of, you know, I as we've discussed, yeah, I had a long corporate career as well. And one of the things that I sort of observed was that there's this sort of law of unintended consequences, I guess I came up with, that in trying to build a profit-making organization that gets bigger and bigger and bigger, what you do is you allow people to form into groups that are more heart-based and connect at a level of integrity and who they really are, and essentially build community with people, allow people to build community, not just make a profit. And that happens even within, you know, these organizations. So in a way, the unintended consequence of, you know, the marketing of spirituality may be that because spirituality is experiential, it's not religious, it's not dogmatic. If it works for you, you keep doing it. If it doesn't work, you move on. But for someone to have an experience out of a cellophane wrapper and say, wow, something just happened, that may yep. have not been the intended consequence of the profit-making organization, but they just woke somebody up.
And that is important. Creating community is huge for me personally, and you know, helping people to outachieve their previous goals and achievements and grow, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, are things that I've always tried to create pathways for people. You shouldn't force them down a road, but to create the opportunity to outachieve what you've done in the past, I think is incredibly mm-hmm. important. And as a priest, you're there to, you know, I'm taught you're there to guide, witness, and teach. You don't intervene. Mm-hmm. You can't right. intervene on someone else's path. And you said it perfectly earlier. There is no one path. There is only your path.
Mm-hmm. And the worst thing we can do is take someone's power.
That's right.
Because it disempowers them and it gives us responsibility that we shouldn't have and that we probably aren't capable of really taking on. Yeah. Wow. So that's quite a journey, Lawrence. And
yeah.
I'm glad we arrived at this place because I'm enjoying this conversation. But the, you know, as you said, each of the choices that we've made in the past brought us here. It reminds me of when Abraham talks about, you know, that each of us is at the leading edge of creation. You know, when you think about it the way you said it, it sort of brings meaning to that. Basically say that right now, you know, sort of metaphorically from a creative perspective and a growth and soul evolution perspective, every one of us is like right at the bow of the ship with our face in the wind moving forward. And that's a pretty cool thing, I think.
A great metaphor. Yeah, great imagery.
Good. Well, so, you know, you mentioned earlier so we've been talking about community in a lot of ways. And I think that, you know, it's becoming more and more obvious that building community is the way that the world is going to get better, that the way that the life that we would like to see everybody able to live, that they're free to do so. And building community and strengthening, you know, that's a big part of pagan pride for me is, you know, yes, there's the sort of standing up to the dominant culture and saying we are here and we're not kidding and we're not going away. But there's also the incredible community building aspect of all of the pagan pride events and all of the pagan pride, even the process of planning pagan pride builds community, planning the event. So it's really about being able to say, this is who we are. This is all the ways in which we're different. And it's wonderful because here's all the ways in which we're the same, which is really getting back to talking about, you know, creating community and making clear who we are. And that brings me to think about the Parliament of World Religions, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. You know, the Karelian tradition is sending, you know, our first priest and our first priestess are going along with a large group of our clergy to Toronto. And I know you're going as well. As you mentioned, Lady Bella is going. So, you know, tell me about your sort of goals for Parliament. What are you seeing?
So, you know, and some of this comes out of what was created by the Karelians and the Aquarian Tabernacle Church with the Global Wicca Summit, is being able to speak about Wicca as a world religion and a world faith. And I'm going there as Lawrence, right? So as me, not as a representative of any tradition, which I'm not initiated in for personal reasons, and it's a longer story, or as part of pagan pride, simply because we're pagan pride as part of Washington. What I've learned, you know, in my personal career is how to network and build networks in communities of people. So I've built technical networks, and then I learned how to connect people. And what I want to be able to do is find some of that common language, common spirituality, to begin and participate in the dialogue with other faiths. So, because everything begins with memory. And memory leads us to language and the way we discuss things. And the next time someone, you know, of a different faith hears, oh, those pagans were doing this at that place, and they think back to what they did at Parliament and the people that they met and the experiences they had with us were, you know, maybe it did, but my experience with those people was open and positive, and they were looking to have a dialogue. And that doesn't seem like something that that type of person would be doing, so I need to question that.
Mm-hmm. I need to learn more about them.
I need to learn more, and yeah, and really to learn, and for us and for me to learn about other faiths. I mean, I've certainly studied a lot, but I've spent, you know, candidly, very little time outside of the Jewish faith with priests and priestesses of other world religions, and there are many, many in the world. And for anybody who's interested, even if you're not going to Parliament, go and look at the application. You'll see a scrolling list of more than 100 different faiths and sub-religions, that's a bad way to put it, traditions under headings. And it's a very eye-opening, you know, the human experience of doing just that. And Parliament dates back more than 100 years. The first one was in 1986 in Chicago. And that's actually how yoga came to the United States. It was an unknown thing at the time, and one of the gurus said, "I, you know what? Our contribution is we're going to teach you this this practice that we have," and that's how it came. So, and then they took a 100-year hiatus, and it's been done every once every 3 years since. So the last one was 2015. The next one should be in 2021. I believe it's going to be outside of North America, but still, it's an opportunity to have the dialogue, to introduce people to Wicca, because they have very set notions about what our symbols mean, even the pentacle or the pentagram, which, mm-hmm. you know, going back to there are Hindu traditions, when they talk about spirit, they talk about the pentacle. They're spirit, fire, air, water, earth, in exactly the same way as we talk about the pentacle. And mm-hmm. and I was invited to a friend's wedding in India, and he was sharing this with me, and I said, you know, this is what we do. And mm-hmm. he stopped, and he said, I had no idea that's what the pentacle meant.
Hmm.
And it was just one of those aha moments for someone, because for years, you know, you see in popular culture, and there's appropriation of how people use the pentacle, and where it's placed and how people wear it. It becomes a fashion statement, just like the millionaire
right.
does. And, you know, mm-hmm. in one ways, again, I've enjoyed all the Marvel movies, and people love to learn about the Norse gods and Odin and Thor mm-hmm. and Loki. That gives you one point of view.
Mm-hmm.
This gives you the opportunity to have an authentic dialogue with someone, because there are people who've come up and said, hey, you're talking about comic book characters. I go, let's talk about this in the framework of people who are spiritually active in this faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when you go to First Nation events and ceremonies, you know, anywhere, there'll be a teepee and people go, oh, let me go and look. It's an exhibit. And there's usually uh-huh. a sign out in front that says, please be respectful and do not enter. This is someone's home, not an exhibit.
Right.
And you just kind of stop. And being able to have enough of those moments and to connect with people, my goal coming out of Parliament, and obviously mm-hmm. some of it will change along the way, is to make more connections, to build networks, to meet mm-hmm. other pagans, spend some time with the people I have never met, Lori Blackman in person. I'm really
mm-hmm.
looking forward to know. Spent a little time with her and Phyllis Carat, who I've spent, again, a long time on the phone, but never in person. Andres Corbin, who's one of the trustees and on the board of Parliament and the only pagan still on the board, and get to meet some of these other leaders and maybe help start building some connections. Everything's mm-hmm. got to begin with a dialogue and common vocabulary.
Okay. That's wonderful. That makes perfect sense. And, you know, I'm thinking about the Pagan Pride event here in Seattle, and I'm thinking about, I mean, you know, the Parliament of World Religions being the global event that it is. But right here at home, you and I were talking a couple of days ago about, you know, the fact that even at the Pride event in Seattle and in our day-to-day activities, there are ways we can sort of raise the stature of how people see the pagan world. Do you remember that conversation?
I do. And, you know, until we're part of the community, we won't be part of the community. So getting
right.
out and doing land cleanup, supporting animal shelters, you know, working with people to really let them see these are the things that are important to us. Social justice, women's rights, conservation, all of the things that make up who we are as pagans. I mean, we could talk for 2 hours about this. And making our intents and gratitudes known. All
mm-hmm.
pagans vote. November 6th is coming up, election time, and I am confident, so my intention is that all pagans will go out and vote for this election,
mm-hmm.
the next election, and every election to come. That's what, you know, gets us into the community and sees people. These are the examples that we set. We don't have to lead, but we say what we mean. We
mm-hmm.
do what we say.
Yeah, and it's by engagement in
yes.
the world and engagement in the process. And showing up, you know, showing up at their events, showing up at the things that matter to people who are not part of the pagan world.
That's right.
Yep. So when we thinking about for the folks who may be local, who may be listening to this show here in Seattle area, talking about Pagan Pride, and, you know, certainly we're inviting everybody to attend. How can they be part of the Pagan Pride conversation during the year?
There's lots of opportunities. We'll be holding elections. We have quarterly events. Check us out on Facebook, Puget Sound Pagan Pride, or come to the website and join the mailing list for PugetSoundPaganPride.org. Volunteer. And I think in the next year, one of the things that we want to do and some of the lessons that I'll probably bring back from Parliament is how are other faiths, you know, sort of enabling the community to get involved? We're all super visible and local and easy to find. I try to make an event at least two or three times a month, so I'm out there. And we'd love to see other people participate. We'd love volunteers. We're still accepting volunteers for the day of the event, so it'll give you a chance to meet people in the community to participate and become active. If you go to the website, there's a sign-up, and we've got a great volunteer coordinator, and Cassie is just, you know, a spectacular person to be with. She is High Priestess at the ATC and, you know, brings us lots of good volunteers as well.
Outstanding. Well, that sounds great. And so the website again is what?
PugetSoundPaganPride.org.
Beautiful. Lawrence, this has been a phenomenal conversation. I've really enjoyed it. It's really nice to spend time with you. And I think this information, I learned a lot. I think this information was really, really helpful. And thank you for sharing your path and your perspective. And I hope we get to do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, John. Blessed be, and thank you again.
Blessed be, Lawrence. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Cheers.
Bye. Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you, Lawrence. Lawrence Lerner, president of Puget Sound Pagan Pride. And the event again coming up October 28th. Sunday, October 28th, 9 to 5 at Seattle Center. This has been a wonderful conversation. And I always really get a lot out of learning how other people found their way to spirit, found their way, as Lawrence was saying, to the present moment. And the present moment when I'm having this conversation with all of you. And so this has been a great hour for me. I've really enjoyed myself. I hope you've enjoyed it as well. And I'm working on a guest for November 1st. I don't want to promise what I cannot produce, so I will let you know. But if you want to know more about the show, please email me at John, J-O-N, at powerandhealing.com. And I would be very happy to respond to your questions and accept your feedback and suggestions of how what we might talk about in terms of what would help you think about taking the next step on your sacred path. I want to let you know about a couple of things. The Hecate Sickle Festival for the Aquarian Tabernacle Church, as Belladonna, Lady Belladonna Laveau talked about on the 30th, the Hecate Sickle Festival will be taking place on Marrowstone Island at Fort Flagler here in Washington. And it's a beautiful place, a beautiful venue, and it promises to be an extraordinary event, October 18 to 21. And you can go to atc.org, the Aquarian Tabernacle Church website, to find out more about it. I think we are real close to the deadline for people signing up for that, but we will see. So that's coming up. And then more locally, I will be at Stargazers this Wednesday, October 17th, offering Reiki and shamanic healing. And my hours for that here on Whidbey are by appointment. And so you can go to my website, give me a call, www.powerandhealing.com. And it has been my pleasure to be with you tonight. I hope that this has been a wonderful experience for you. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for hanging in to this point. And I hope to see you again, to be engaged with you again next time. And the first and third Thursdays of the month, beginning November 1st. So blessed be, everyone. Have a blessed couple of weeks. We'll talk to you soon. I hope you've enjoyed your time here on Reclaiming Your Sacred Path on Pagans Tonight Radio. I'm your host, John Anastasio, and if you have questions or you want more information about what we've talked about here, please email me at john@powerandhealing.com. And please join me on the second and fourth Sundays of the month at 9 o'clock Central, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, for more conversation about growth in the human spirit. May you blessed be. And so that's first and third. I'll have to redo that closing. Thank you. Thank you again for being here.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.